But dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. God, we thank you for this place that we have to gather together, Lord, to fellowship with one another. Lord, to hear your word, to be able to do life together. And Lord, we just reflect on the gift that you've given us during this Christmas season. And Lord, we just pray that as we sing and lift our praise to you, that you would be honored, that you would be glorified. Lord, we thank you for all that you are doing in this community and in this church. And we just pray that you would have your way in us today. In Christ's name, amen.
Hello. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6.
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Luke 2:8 through 15.
Jonah, you old scallywag, just go to Nineveh already.
Go on, shoot!
Ebenezer!
Wally, my old friend! You've been expired for 7 years! So what do I owe this pleasure?
Pleasure? I come, bringing grievous news, Ebenezer.
Grievous news, alas! The only news worth an ear is that it's Christmas, and that Christ has come to us. Marley, my old friend, are you quite all right?
Well, I'm dead, so no, I'm not all right. And I am also bound by these chains, forged in life by selfish deeds. Human welfare, not money, should have been my business, Ebenezer.
Yes, yes, the good book does say that it is better for a poor man to walk in his integrity than for a rich man to be crooked in all his ways.
That would have been nice to know. this night, when the clock strikes one, you shall be visited by the ghost of Christmas past.
Ah, humbug! My past is gone. The judgment that I so richly deserve is as dead as you, buried in Christ Jesus, who ransomed my sin on the cross. My past will never haunt me again.
Are you done?
I'd like to mention John 3:16. It's a great verse.
I am trying to deliver an iconic speech.
I'm so sorry. Yes, the speech is wonderful. Please continue with your presentation. It is beautiful. It's brilliant. Please, go ahead.
Not the first ghost. That's the ghost. You shall not shun the second ghost, for it is more frightening than the first. For the ghost of Christmas present.
Present? God is present in my present.
For the love of
God?
Sure, why not?
Isn't it wonderful? He governs my steps, makes straight my path, and if I'm willing, he indicates where there is a need. And Marley, I can meet to the need that very day.
This whole haunting thing is much more difficult than they said it would be.
Yes, those chains look tremendously heavy.
They are. Listen, Scroogey, between you and me, can I interest you in a Ghost of Christmas Future? Let go and let, yeah.
The good book does indicate that we should cast aside all our worries about the future, because today has enough trouble of its own. And Molly, my friend, you look like you have lots of troubles.
Well, it seems I've wasted your time. Clearly, the Lord has done my work for me. I would bid you adieu.
One second. Landliness is next to godliness.
Right.
God bless us, everyone.
I'll see myself out. Don't get up. Bye.
That worked just a minute ago.
So clearly somebody got to Ebenezer before the ghost could. Scott sent that along. I enjoyed it very much, too. It brought me back when I was a substance abuse counselor. I used that story a lot because it's a story of redemption. It's a story of change. It's a story of transformation. And in that video, Ebenezer had gotten it already, as we can see. So I am here in front of you this morning. It was supposed to be Scott. Scott was not feeling well today. I'm going to blame Star. For last week, she walked up to me. She said, "When are you going to be up there speaking again?" And I said, "Oh, I'm not scheduled till March, so I got a little bit of time before I have to do that." And then, so I think it was I don't know if we can say jinx in church, but here I am. Scott has no voice, not feeling well, so we'll keep praying for him, and hopefully he feels better. It's been a rough week, so. For some reason, I did have an inkling, too, as Scott was saying all week he wasn't feeling well. I was like, I bet he's probably going to not feel well on Sunday, and somebody's going to have to fill in for him, and it'll probably be me. And that is fine, right? But I was thinking, because we've been talking about this Rediscover Christmas, and I was like, it's on peace. And I was like, I don't really feel like, you know, peace is something that I have always had in my life. I feel like I'm getting it, and I feel like it's coming, but so it's kind of odd that I'm standing here speaking to you. And I think sometimes that's a God thing, for sure. I know it is. Because when I was growing up, I grew up in a family, and we had no peace at Christmas. It was my parents especially, there was a lot of struggles in their lives. And there was a lot of substance abuse and that kind of thing. And so I just remember from some of my earliest memories of Christmas was that I would pray for peace. And I just wanted peace in my family. I didn't know what all that meant, but I just hoped at some point that some of that would, you know, happen in my family. And I'm standing in front of you today talking to you about peace, so there's something neat about that. I will say the fact that I'm speaking for Scott, and I found out yesterday after the men's breakfast, means that this message is not completely mine. I did steal it from, I called it Scott AI, because most of his message was already done, so I'm going to be speaking much of his message, but I will also tell you that, like I said, God has been working, because some of what I've been kind of studying in my own life has been around peace, and how, peace can enter my life. I started reading this book a little while ago. It's called I Love Jesus, But I Want to Die, and it really is about this woman's journey where she was like, I'm a Christian, but, you know, I have these mental illnesses that really have caused me to really feel like I want to die. And she talks a lot about how God doesn't always take away those things in our lives that we particularly want him to take away, and there's some reasons for that sometimes. It may be part of our message for our, you know, that our story that we tell later. And she also talks, she brought up the story, I love the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Most of you know I have a cat named Abednego, that's one of my favorite stories. And in the book, she really talks about how, you know, God didn't take them out of the fire, he met them in the fire, he was with them in the fire. And to me, that is the, you know, what we're talking about. When Scott sent the message, it really, you know, clicked in with me about that. There was basically three things that she talked about in the book. She said God doesn't abandon his people in the fire, he meets them there. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't saved, so they weren't saved from the fire. They were in the fire. They were dancing in the fire. They were joyous in the fire. The fire didn't keep God out. It became the stage for his greatest entrance. And when I read that, I'm thinking, what's his greatest entrance, right? But Christmas. He came to us. In the fire, it was before, you know, Jesus came to earth. But he, you know, he's with us today. He made his greatest entrance. And we serve, the God who stepped into human history, took on flesh, and walked into the fire with us. So like I said, I'm going to share the bulk of Scott's message, and we're going to kind of move from there. Scott talked a little bit. He sent me in this, he was talking about the Finnish people, people from Finland. And he said basically that they don't mess around. So here's what, and I didn't realize this, that this had happened with them, but every year, apparently since the 1300s, they've had this thing they call the Declaration of Christmas Peace. It's a declaration, pretty, you know, important. The whole country does this. So 700 years of that tradition that they've been doing over time. And here's how it works. So every Christmas Eve at noontime, you get an official that stands on the balcony of the historic mansion in the middle of Turku, which sounds like a Scandinavian superhero, but it's a city. He reads this proclamation, and they put it on TV, they put it on radio, they put it on, you know, all the things. You see it on Facebook, and you see it on Instagram, all those kind of things. And they say this, basically, everyone, Christmas is here, be nice to each other, and if you're not nice, we'll deal with you harshly. Merry Christmas. And so it's a law, apparently, in Finland to be nice to people, right? They say, be nice to people or else, kind of thing, which is interesting. So the actual proclamation goes something like this, and I'm going to read it. Tomorrow, God willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, and thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all. Because he who breaks this peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall, under aggravating circumstances, be guilty and punished according to what the law and the statutes prescribe. So yeah, Christmas cheer is a law in Finland. I don't know what the punishments are, but anyway. But what a great way to kick off Christmas, right? So, you know, if most of us feel like we need to do things under, you know, somebody's thumb telling us what to do sometimes. And so maybe for, you know, if being told, be cheerful and, you know, don't, you know, be at peace. The world certainly needs that today. So that's what happens in Finland. What is Advent? So we're going to go back and talk a little bit about, you know, why did we do these candles and that kind of stuff. So last week, Scott kicked it off. He said, we're in the season of waiting and anticipation. So Advent, the word Advent actually means coming or arrival. So things are coming. And it's all about this expectation and this longing, right, that we're waiting for Christ to come, his meeting us here on earth. Except, you know, the thing is, we wait for things all the time, right? I was thinking about Daniela when she's at Christmas time, right? And the little kids are always like, Santa's coming. There's that anticipation. There's that I can't wait. There's that, you know, you go to bed at 7:30 and, you know, they're just sitting there, this bundle of energy waiting for Santa to come. And then he comes and we have a good time. So same thing with Jesus, even bigger, right? Thing about Advent is it connects past, present, and future. Again, that story of Ebenezer Scrooge is not too much different, right? We talk about the past, we talk about the present, we talk about the future. Advent connects all that. Sharing for our ancient longing for the Messiah, celebrating his birth, and we're staying alert for his second coming. So it's like we're looking backward at the hope fulfilled, and we're looking forward at the hope still to come, right? We're waiting for Jesus to come back and be here, take care of all those things that we're anxious about in the world. And that happens all at the same time. So each week of Advent, we focus on that different attributes. So the four are hope, peace, joy, and love. And today we're going to dive into peace. And Scott put it on here, spoiler alert, the world could probably use some peace right now, right? There's a lot of stuff going on. One of the things, I had to dig out this snow globe, but when we think about peace, Scott wanted to use this as an object lesson, and I was like, oh yeah. I dusted it off pretty well, because this is one of Daniela's old ones when she was a little girl. So, but we think about a snow globe, and we think about, and I'm not even sure the stuff. Get the idea of the things that are moving around. This is how long it's been sitting on a shelf, apparently. So, you know, things swirl around, right? And then what happens after we kind of put it down for a while? It settles, right? And we think about that piece as that being settled, right? And God is here to tell us that it's not really about being settled necessarily. It's about, you know, we can find peace in the middle of all that confusion, all that stuff going on. And really, to me, that is the idea of what, the full idea of what peace is. I had a friend in recovery who would tell me all the time, he used the word serenity, because in recovery you use the word serenity. He would say, you know, serenity is being in a, he used very words, but basically you're in a rainstorm. He didn't use that word. He was a very colorful guy. He said, serenity is being in a rainstorm and not getting wet. Think about it in other terms, but so, and I always loved that thing because it's like, you know, here we are, if we can be serene and still be in the middle of all this chaos and not get covered in all that stuff that's around there, not be involved in it, that is to me a great thing. And the more I was thinking about it in relation to Jesus, it's like Jesus covers us, right? He protects us. He takes care of that stuff. And if we can rest in his peace and be settled in that, we're okay. We'll, you know, we have that peace that goes beyond all understanding. I also thought when I was thinking about this was the disciples in the boat, right? Here's this storm coming up, and they're all getting anxious, right? We're going to die. We're going to all this kind of stuff. And where was Jesus? Sleeping in the bottom of the boat, right? And they're like, Jesus, we're going to die. Help us here. And, you know, great thing that they could reach out to Jesus, but, you know, maybe they could have had that peace. And I think Jesus, in that story, tells them, you know, just calm down. But then he calms the storm for them. I think he understands that in us, too, is that sometimes we forget that he's protecting us and he's taking care of us. And when we forget that, we get lost in that chaos. But when we can reach out to him and ask him for that peace, he will give it to us. So those were some of the things I thought about. When we think about peace, and again, I like Scott's message, and that's why I kept most of it, because it really connects to the Christmas story. I'm going to, at the end, connect it a little bit more to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but the shepherds really are the idea here, so we can't really skip them. So here they are. They were doing their job. They were on the third shift. They were watching their sheep. They were probably arguing about whose turn it was to refill the coffee thermos, right? I mean, that's, what are you going to do? You're sitting there watching the sheep. They're making noise. They're doing what they do. And bam, what shows up? Not one angel, several angels, right? This big group of angels shows up everywhere. And then, you know, this happens, and I love this. The reason I kept it in here, too, is because I love that part of that story when Linus is talking. So if you hear Linus in your head when I'm reading this, we've all been there. So an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." I'll suck my thumb or whatever at this time. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. There will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So that's from Luke 2, 9 through 12. So again, this great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God. They said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So can we really stop here a minute and think about what was really happening, right? Here are these guys in the middle of the night. It's dark, it's quiet. probably a little boring. They were probably trying to keep each other awake, probably poking each other to do that, right? And then not one angel shows up. You know, a lot of times in the Bible we hear this, you know, they're sleeping and it comes to them in their dreams, these messages. But a whole army of angels showed up. And this, you know, they call them, the New Living Translation calls them the armies of heaven. But there are other translations. Anybody, I asked Tom to be looking for this, but in, lost my point, my spot. In Luke 2, what do they call them besides armies of heaven? Huh? I think so. While he's looking, I will say that this is the hardest job for somebody to do, substitute. Like, I'm a teacher, and being a substitute teacher is probably the hardest job you have to do, because you walk in on somebody else's script and have to share it. And but it's also the easiest, because the pressure's off. I'm just the substitute, so if things go wrong, it's really Scott's problem. So anyway. Heavenly hosts, vast hosts, so just a huge amount of angels showing up. And so if we can think for a minute, being there, imagine the sound, right? Were they singing? What language were they singing in, right? Was it Hebrew? Was it Aramaic? Was it angelic auto-tune? Was it loud? Was it soft? What was going on? Could anyone else hear it? Or was it just, you know, I'm sure most of them were sitting there going, are they hearing this? You know, was Bill hearing the same thing I'm hearing? Because I don't, this is something new. And there's a debate over saying or singing. But the context of praise both fit. So, you know, we don't really fight about it. And today, if this had happened today, what would we do with that information? It'd be on CNN, MSNBC, NBC News, you know, ABC News. We'd, you know, probably all be taking pictures on our phone and, you know, going on Snapchat and sending it to all our friends. And can you believe this? I mean, we do this for dinner, right? Why wouldn't we do it for a host of heavenly angels? You know, that would happen. And you know, why did Jesus pick shepherds, right? What was going on there? So he sent it to them. They're the blue collar, they're the unglamorous, they're the no social status guys that are working the night shift. So why send it to them? So we have, the reason why really is because shepherds are tying a bunch of biblical threads together. So if we look at the patriarchs in the Bible, we got Abraham, we got Isaac, we got Jacob. What were they? They were shepherds, right? David was a shepherd, right? So he started as a shepherd. So there was that idea there where he was picking from shepherds. And they were the everyman. They were the have-nots. They were the people with no entitlement. They had really no religious, you know, standing whatsoever. They were just out there in the field doing their thing. So it really fit perfectly, right? So this whole upside-down kingdom, because here we are in the middle of the you know, Christ story, the birth. So yeah, they were all there, right? All this story. And God was flipping the script. So the other thing was the shepherds also were pointing them to Jesus's mission. The sheep were central to Jewish life. We talk a lot about the Passover lamb, right? This was the substitute. This was the atonement for sin. And so Jesus became this lamb for us, right? He was entering the world as the Lamb of God, the ultimate sacrifice. The shepherds were watching the lambs, and they got the first glimpse of the lamb who would take away the sin of the world. So again, this thing with God's peace. And we're going to talk about these three insights. Peace comes in our storms, peace defies circumstances, and peace is a person. So in the midst of our storms, did that switch? Yeah, peace comes in our storms. Has anybody ever been in a hurricane? Or seen one on radar or any of that stuff? Yeah, I mean, we've had hurricanes come through Maine, or, you know, you might have been other places. What is the most distinctive part of a hurricane? The wind. But the eye is the big piece, right? And so what is that eye, really? Is it really windy in that eye? No, right? We could look at it as peace in the eye of this storm. And so, you know, that eerie calm. So the winds are dying down, the rain stops, and for a moment it's still. And then what happens if the eye comes over you? You think it's over. Is it over? No, there's more to come, right? So there's that little moment of peace and stillness, and then you got the rest of the storm coming through. I did tell myself I was going to stop saying as much up here. Hopefully, we'll see. Now everybody's going to hear every time I say it, but I'm sorry. So how's your Christmas season going, really, right now when we think of Christmas? I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little bit anxious about, you know, it's coming close. It's a hard time sometimes for people. Like I say, I've had this background of not really enjoying Christmas, so I'm like, let's get it over with. But it gets busy, right? There's a lot of stuff that we've got going on, you know, the prelude to Christmas, all those kind of things that we're going to. Let's go see Santa here. Let's go see Santa there. Whose house are we spending Christmas at? All those kind of things come in. And so all those things that come in that take our time and really mess with our peace, right? Remember that it's Jesus that shows up in the middle of our storms. He doesn't wait for everything to be calm and perfect. He comes right into the middle of the mess. So Mary and Joseph weren't in a 5-star resort. They were in a barn, basically. They were far from home. They were stressed. They were exhausted, and they were giving birth in a barn. The shepherds, they weren't living their best lives. They were working the graveyard shift, and they were probably cold, tired. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, I got to go find this, you know, savior of the earth. They might have grumbled a little bit. Who knows? But then God showed up, this heavenly host of angels. Showed up in the pain, showed up in the fear. He showed up in the confusion. He shows up in your pain. He shows up in your confusion. He shows up in your exhaustion. He doesn't wait for us to have it all together. I hope that's, you know, people realize that that's true. He's not there. He's there all the time. He's not just there in our good times. He's there all the time. The second thing is that peace defies our circumstances. You know, you might think that's nice. You don't know my situation. My situation's way worse. I don't know if you guys are like me sometimes. I'm like, yeah, I got you beat on that. And it really doesn't matter. And you know, I might not know your situation. God does. God is right on it. He knows exactly how you're feeling, what you're thinking. So, yeah. And the wild part about that is God's peace doesn't make logical sense. So it's not a peace that depends on everything going right. It's a peace that shows up when things are wrong. And I think about this, you know, as far as, you know, where have I seen peace in my life? Scott had his things. I was going to get up here and tell you I had a liver transplant, but I figured you'd probably figure that out after a while. So I had to change that a little in Scott's script. So my things are, you know, I sought God for help with my alcoholism. Now, I didn't find peace right there, but there was that moment when I was on my knees praying about, you know, dealing with my alcoholism, that I felt like there was that moment of peace, like things were okay. So God found me in that peace. With that piece. Right now, I'm going through a time with my job. We don't have any funding. We're a government-funded program. We have been blessed at this point for our company to shift things around, and so I'm still getting paid, but I don't know how long that's going to last. And for some strange reason, and it has to be God, I am okay where I'm at. It's God will take care of me. If I lose this job, if this job goes away, God will find me another job, or God will protect me and take care of me. So that's a weird peace for me. Like I told you, peace wasn't always my thing. So, and one of the other things was, you know, finding a house when my mother passed away, and I had to find a house really quick in the middle of the worst housing market. It's like God found the house for us. It's just, you know, that's how God works. And then the other thing I was thinking this morning was I also do a lot of support groups. I work with people in support groups. I lead support groups. This is a tough year for it's a tough year. It's also a tough season for support groups because people that come to support groups are struggling with a lot of things, and I have to pray a lot about how can I be peaceful in the middle of this, because I get some people this week. I had somebody who was feeling like they didn't want to live anymore, and you know, it's if I didn't have God with me, some of that I would my peace would be gone, and I afterwards, I'm going, I had to have been God working through me because things worked out the way they needed to work out. I think he's heading for some help. And anyway, those are some things where I think God's peace, you know, comes in. So yeah, God's peace exceeds anything we can understand. It defies logic. If bills don't add up, has anybody ever had the time when, you know, you're like, I need a certain amount of money, and then all of a sudden the money that you need shows up in the exact amount that you needed? God things. So yeah, that is defying our circumstances. And then the last one that Scott had is peace is a person. Well, we all know who that person is, right? It's not a feeling. It's not a state of mind. It's not even the absence of conflict. Peace is a person. Peace is Jesus. If we seek out Jesus, we will get peace. Paul says it in Ephesians, Christ himself has brought peace to us, 2:14. And way before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. And a reminder that, you know, peace is a person. Jesus didn't just bring peace. He is peace, right? He is a living God. He is with us today. We have the Holy Spirit with us. All that enters us. And he offers an invitation. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So think about that. You know, read it. If you're struggling, go back to that. He will take those burdens from your shoulder. And he isn't asking you to fix everything first. He's saying, come to me now, right? He's saying, you know, I can help you. I can work you through this. Come as you are, exhausted, overwhelmed, broken. Come to me and I will give you rest. So what now? As we move through the second week of Advent, I want to encourage you to look for the Prince of Peace, even when it feels stormy. Come to him like the shepherds did with nothing to offer but your willingness to show up. All right. I told you I'd get to a little bit of my stuff. So, you know, he's already here. He's with us. In the chaos, in the pain, in the uncertainty. And he was there in the fire, right? He was there when they were, you know, they weren't sure what was going to happen, but they trusted that God was going to take care of them however he was going to take care of them. Maybe they would burn up, but they were like, let's do it. God was there. Jesus was there with them. The same God who walked into the furnace with the three Hebrew men in Babylon is walking with you right now. He hasn't left, and he won't leave. When we feel like he's not there, it's us turning away from him. And so we need to remind ourselves to go back to him. And he is changing others through your story as he is changing you. So when we're walking through those painful moments and those things, I stand in front of you. Most of you have probably heard my story up here. And when I was going through that, that was the worst time of my life. I was thinking about Ella when I was thinking about this too, because there were some times in her life where it was, and she got up and talked about her story. And that is where we see God. And there was a line in one of the books that I read when I was studying some of the stuff with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And I'll have the worship team come up and get ready to close. But This was a quote that they wrote in this book that I read about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And it said, when Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace, all he could see was the fire. But when he looked closer, he saw something else, someone else, a fourth man walking in the flames, unharmed, unshaken, unbothered by the heat. And that's what people see when they look at you. They see the fire, they see the trial, they see the pressure, and they wonder how you're still standing. But when they look closer, they see him. They see peace that doesn't make sense. They see joy in the middle of suffering. They see strength that can only come from God. So remember, God is with us. He's always with us. He is our peace. So my prayer for you today, I will close this out with prayer, and then we'll finish with a song. It's really related to, you know, the Lord of peace himself will give you his peace at all times in every situation. So, Lord, we just thank you for this message this morning, some from Scott, some from me, but all hopefully from you, that it will carry on into the hearts and lives of the people that are here this morning, Father, that people will remember that peace is found in you, that Jesus is the message of the season, is that he came to take away those struggles and those hardships, not necessarily just to take them away too, Lord, but to use them to strengthen us and to show us more who he is and what he's about, Lord. So we just, again, thank you for our time this morning and pray as we go about our week.